ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ समस्तजनकल्याणे निरतं करुणामयं नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरम् ॐ पार्थाय प्रतिबोधितां भगवतां नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेनाग्रथितां पुराणमुनिनां मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणीं भगवतीं अष्टादशाध्यायनीम् अम्ब त्वामनुसन्दधामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणी यं ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुतः स्तुन्वन्ति दिव्यैस्तवै वेदैः साङ्गपदक्रमोपनिषदैः गायन्ति यं सामगाः ध्यानावस्थिततद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनः यस्यान्तं न विदुत्सुरासुरगणाः देवाय तस्मै नमः देवाय तस्मै नमः ॐ श्रीगणेशाय नमः ॐ श्रीसरस्वत्यै नमः ॐ श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः Topic has been covered before, but there are a few new people. So we just like to give a little overview of the Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita has 18 chapters divided into three sections, 6, 6, and each 6. And they are based on the Upanishad mantra, Tat Tvam Asi, that thou art. So what they mean is that consciousness, which is God, which we call as Brahman, Tvam, that you are, and that is the, Asi is the, that you are that. So the first 6 chapters talk about Tvam, me, I. What am I and how I should work in the world? That God is the next 6 chapters, 7 to 12. And then 13 to 18 is the connection between me and God. And in the first 6 chapters, Bhagavan has already covered the path of service, path of karma yoga in the 3rd, 4th and 5th, how we should work in the world. And that has been covered in detail, in the path of service, the path of work. From 7th onward, he's talking about himself, about God. And that's why all the chapters 7, 8, 9 up to 11 will talk about God, who God is, what is God's nature, and how we can know God. And then the 12th is the path of bhakti or the path of love. And people often ask, well, why is he not talking about work? Why is he not talking about service? Bhagavan has already done that in the first six chapters. So the Bhagavad Gita, even though it talks about action, the action has already been covered. So this topic is now talking about God. And so that is what we have to focus on. Of course, the path of karma, bhakti and jnana, the service, knowledge and love for God, is a thread throughout the Bhagavad Gita. And again, Bhagavan will come back to how one should work, how one should love God. But we have to realize that the topic of service is already over, and we are talking about the path of love and the path of knowing God. So the example we give is that somebody has done a master's in mathematics and now is in a class of quantum physics. And in quantum physics, he says, well, what about mathematics? We'll say, no, that you have already covered. And now you are in the advanced class. And if you want to study mathematics, then go back to the class, study that, do a PhD and become a teacher. So same way, if we are only interested in doing karma, then that is our goal. So we should stay in chapters 3, 4, and 5, study and practice. But these six chapters will tell us about God. So that is what we are going to discuss in this next few months. Chapter 9, 10, 11 will talk about who God is. And 12th will talk about the path of love, the path of bhakti. So in chapter 8 so far, we have studied that God is everything. He is the Adi Bhuta. He is all the beings. He is Adi Deva. He is the inner controller. And he is Adi Yajna. He is the Lord. To him, all the senses make the offerings. And then Bhagavan says that if you want to reach me, if you want to know me, you have to keep doing your duty, but remembering me. Ananya Cheta Satatam Yo Mam Smarati Nityashah. So do all your duties, but remember me, because your goal in life is to reach me. Tasyaham Sulabha Partha Nitya Yuktasya Yoginaha. So one who does his work remembering me constantly and offering all his actions unto me without doership, without I and my, unselfishly seeing the whole world as God, can reach me. So that is the goal of life, and that is what we have covered so far. We have covered the path of action, the path of service. Now the next few months we'll be talking about God, who God is, and how we can know him. And last week we had also heard about creation, where it says that there is the creator Brahmaji, who is the unmanifest, and from the unmanifest, the world becomes manifest and then goes back to unmanifest. And all the way from this world up to the realm of Brahmaji called Brahma Loka, when we go, we return back to this world. But the goal of life is to reach the oneness with the divinity. And today we'll be talking more about what is this goal of life and how the path of action will take us, the path of service will take us, the path of love will take us, the path of knowledge, all three will take us to this highest goal of enlightenment, and how this enlightened master functions in this world. So we'll do verse number 19. Satish and Varsha can please chant.
Bhutagram sa evayam.
Bhutagram sa evayam.
Bhutva bhutva praliyate.
Bhutva bhutva praliyate.
Ratriya game vashav partha.
Ratriya game vashav partha.
Prabhavat. Tyaharagame.
Prabhavatyaharagame.
If you can all please mute, we'll chant together.
Bhutagramasa evayam. Bhutva bhutva praliyate. Ratriyagame vashav partha. prabhavatyah ragame.
So bhuta gramam. So this collection of all beings, all beings, all bhutas, eva ayam. So this same collection of beings that we had talked about last week, that from the unmanifest they become manifest. And we had said that the one day of Brahmaji is equal to millions of earth years, because all the four yugas and 1,000 such yugas are equal to one day of Brahmaji. So in the day of Brahmaji, the world comes into creation. And then the world goes into what we call as pralaya, what is in Christianity called as the deluge, where the world then becomes unmanifest, and for billions of years, Brahmaji is asleep and the world goes into darkness. So that is called the night of Brahmaji, where the world is no longer existing. So he says, Sa Bhuta Grama, so this Bhuta Grama, this collection of beings, Eva Ayam, Bhutva Praliyate, being born again and again. So what they are saying is, this is not the first creation. This is not the first time the universe has come into being. But again and again, Praliyate is born. And then what happens? Ratriya Agame. So when the night comes, Avasha Partha. Avasha means without an ability to control. We do not have control over our death. So when the night comes of Brahmaji, this whole universe, avasha partha praliyate, goes into dissolution. And that's what happens to the individual, that we give up our life, and also the entire cosmos, the entire universe goes into pralaya. And then what happens? Prabhavati ahar agame. When the day of Brahmaji comes, then again the world is created. So the world is created, it stays for a few billion years, then goes into pralaya, and that is called the day of Brahmaji is the creation, and night of Brahmaji is called the death, or the total merger of the universe into the totality. So when they say bhutas, bhutas are the all the beings, not only human beings, but all beings, animals, birds, plants, fish. And they say that human beings, even though we are 7 billion, we are only 0.5%, only 0.5% of the total creation. Because you look out into the garden, how many plants are there, how many weeds, how many grass, how many trees, and then how many insects and bacteria and all. So they say, oh, the human population is increasing. From where are all these beings coming? They are coming from previous beings. So there are some humans who are attaining enlightenment and not coming back. And then there are other animals, birds, plants, fish that are evolving to humans. So there is a continuous cycle where there is evolution from lower species to higher species. And then humans evolve to the higher state of enlightenment. And what causes this birth and death? So Lord says vasanas. It is our unmanifest tendencies. If I have strong tendencies, if I have strong desires that have not been fulfilled in this lifetime, say I really wanted to be a singer, and I couldn't be, and I died with that idea, or I was poor and I really wanted to be wealthy. So whatever is my overwhelming desire will determine my next birth. So the birth is determined by vasana. So whoever has unfulfilled vasanas is bound to come back to another birth. And if my desires have been good, my karmas have been good, then I will take birth in a better state. Say if I'm a human, I may become a better human. In the sense, I may be born in a better household where I may have the facilities for spiritual growth and so on. But if I have done a lot of evil deeds, then I could be born in a worse human condition or even in an animal state. So that is what they are saying, that there is a gradual evolution and the goal of life is to continue to evolve, not go backward. And that's why the Bhagavad Gita, again and again, Bhagavan is telling us that your goal of life is evolution. And avasya is it, what it means is that we cannot decide the day of my death. I cannot decide when the time comes. When I have exhausted all my karmas for this birth, whatever vasanas I came, I have fulfilled them or to some extent, then when my karmas are ended, then my life ends. And that's why some children may die even at 6 months or at 6 years, because for this particular lifetime, their karmas have exhausted. And then there are others who are living to be 90, 95, 99, and even though they may be very miserable or maybe in a skilled nursing facility may not be happy and they want to leave, but their karmas have not exhausted. So that's what they say, avasya, it is happening without our control. And our goal of life, Gurudev says, is self-improvement. I have to improve my life myself. I cannot expect that a guru will magically place his hand on my head and then I become enlightened. That those stories, if you hear, they are actually not true. Because yes, if I have mentally prepared myself, physically prepared myself, done a lot of good karmas, then when I come in contact with a guru, the guru is the one that can give me guidance, can give me the right knowledge, can point me in the right direction. When I'm making mistakes, it can bring me back, just as a GPS can give you directions. And when you go off the track, the GPS says, you know, you have to recalculate and come back to the path. So the guru is like that, is a GPS that guides us, but the guru cannot walk the path for us. I have to walk for it myself. I have to do self-improvement. The guru is a guide. The scriptures are a guide. The Bhagavad Gita, the Bible, all the scriptures can be the guide. But ultimately, I have to do it myself. And I cannot blame anybody else for what is happening, or I cannot give credit to everybody else. It is my own effort. And they say karmas will find you. If you do not get the majority of the karmas that we do, we get the consequences in this life itself. There is no carry forward except a few. And the few karmas that say I have done some good karmas, I didn't get the result, or I did some bad karmas and I didn't get the punishment, then in next life, wherever your subtle body is, because the gross body gets burnt or cremated or buried, but the subtle body is the one that goes and takes a new birth, and the karma will follow that subtle body and find it. Just as they give the example in the Upanishads, there is a herd of, say, 500 or 1,000 cows, and they all have calves, baby calves. And at the end of the day, say the cows have gone for grazing and the calves have been left, and the cows have gone to be milked or whatever. When they come back, when the calves are released, each one of them finds its own mother. No calf will make a mistake and go to somebody else's mother. The baby, she knows who is my mother, and will find it even among 1,000. For us, the cows may all look alike, but the calf knows. So similarly, the karma knows who the karma phala goes to, who has committed this action, and based on that action, they will get the result of their karmas. People may say, I don't believe in all this karma theory. What is the proof? Unless I see it for myself, I won't know it. So I was reading one commentary and they said that it's like saying, if I don't see it, I don't believe it. But if we are making a reservation for a trip to Europe, so what do? I go on the computer and I buy a ticket from Los Angeles to Rome. And then from Rome, I buy a ticket to Geneva and book my hotel and resort. And and they say, enter your credit card number, even with the 3-digit code in the back, we do it, right? We don't know. And we think, we don't know. Maybe the guy who is getting this information is sitting in India or Philippines or somewhere. But we trust, we know that there is a process. And so we enter our credit card number, we make our reservation, even though we don't know who is taking the reservation, who is getting this data. So similarly, this karma theory, even though we may not have personal experience, but as long as this, it's been told to us by the Lord, it is told in the scriptures, we believe it and we practice it. Now, talking about creation, our scriptures have given us various theories of creation. And then I was researching some of our scholars, the science, what does science say about creation? And it is amazing how close science comes to spirituality. There are two major theories of creation. One is called the theory of the Big Bang. There was a Belgian physicist called Lemaître who came up with the Big Bang theory, that one time in history, few billion years ago, the earth was very small like an egg. And then the Big Bang happened and the earth, and this whole universe exploded and is spreading for billions of years. And ultimately the force of gravity will stop pushing it out and then it will pull back and slowly merge back and become that cosmic egg. And then again the Big Bang will happen. Of course, he doesn't explain where the energy comes from, Big Bang, because they don't mention God, but they say that from somewhere this energy came. So this cosmic egg has been described in our Upanishads as Brahmananda. You know, Brahmananda. So this cosmic egg was already described by our rishis thousands of years ago. And from the cosmic egg, this universe will emerge and then will merge back. It is amazing how the modern science is exactly copying what our rishi said thousands of years ago. And then, interestingly, there's another theory by a British physicist called Fred Hoyle, Sir Fred Hoyle, where he was given the knighthood by the Queen for this theory, where he said that this universe, it's not a Big Bang. There was not a time when the universe was not and then came into being and will go back. Universe was always there. And that's what our Upanishads say, that creation is anadi. And he says the universe was always there and it was what he calls as a steady state theory. Steady state means the universe is constant, but in the universe, some stars become black holes and perish and new stars are created. And he even mentions something called the creative force. He doesn't mention God, but he says there is some creative force which is creating these new stars and old stars are merging. So this theory of constant state and creation, that there is a creative force where all the universe is created and then there are some parts of the universe going into unmanifest, is there in all our scriptures, in all our Upanishads. So it's so interesting that what has been described by us is being proved by science. So that's why I said I felt this connects very well with Bhagavan Sri Krishna, where he says the universe bhutva praliyate, and then it again becomes manifest. So from unmanifest prabhavati, it comes into creation. So this is how the world is created, and then the world goes into unmanifest, and that is called the day and night of Brahmaji. What is the substratum on which this universe is being created?